out tonight in the Word of God, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. The two books of Timothy, or that are entitled Timothy, the first and second epistle, or letter to each one, these books come to us from the pen of the Apostle Paul, who gives us so much of the New Testament and brings to us some of the vital doctrines that are held dear and have been held dear down through the ages. The Word of God has never changed. The same foundation upon which the apostles built, upon which the prophets built, is the foundation upon which we build our hope and our faith in these days. We are far removed by time and in space, geographically, from the land of the Bible, the land of Palestine. But tonight, the truth that came out of that land and from the outer reaches of Asia and across Europe, these wonderful truths that have been preserved for us in the Word of God remain for us tonight, unchanging and unchangeable. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to read a few verses beginning at verse 15. But I would have you pause with me for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee again in these moments for the foundation of our faith, even Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that men are building on various and sundry foundations in this world. We know from the teaching of Thy Word that there is but one foundation that is safe and sound and secure, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. May we tonight realize afresh and anew how important it is for us to build upon this foundation that is laid, a foundation that shall never be shaken. Help us to see it in the study of Thy Word in these moments together. Should there be those who have not yet anchored their faith in Christ, who have not yet begun to build their lives upon this solid rock, may they do so tonight. For those, Heavenly Father, who are disturbed in mind and soul and heart, may they find a refuge in Christ. May they find peace and pardon and joy and happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we ask it, and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. Now then, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I shall begin reading at verse 15. Paul writes to young Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Verse 19 is my text. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The days in which we live in the 20th century are days unparalleled and unmatched in all the history of mankind. We believe from the teaching of God's Word that the creation as we know it in the record that God has given us is something like 6,000 years old. Never in these 6,000 years since the first man, Adam, was placed upon the earth as we know this creation, have there been days equal to ours? These are momentous days. In your own lifetime, further advances have been made in science and in the arts and in other areas of society and culture than have been made in hundreds of years before. Just think, since the turn of the century, the things that have come into being. Who would have thought just a few years ago that man would be going through space at the rate of 18,000 miles an hour? Who would have thought that man would be flying in a conventional airplane? And this is just before us. By 1970, man will fly 1,800 miles per hour. Now that's rather fast. Last Monday we boarded a jet plane in Dallas, the largest commercial jetliner in service today. 195 passengers, over 650 miles an hour on a Super DC-8. And brother, it was just like being seated right where you are. There was no vibration. There was no storm. There was nothing. It was just as comfortable as where you're seated right now. Who would have thought a few years ago that the image of a person could be piped across the sea? If there were proper equipment here tonight, people in Europe could see the image of your pastor as he stands in the pulpit to proclaim the Word of God. People all around the world could hear the voice. 50 or 60 years ago, this was unheard of. These are momentous days. These are history-making days. If the Lord tarries His coming, I wonder what kind of books will be written to record the history of 1900 to 1970. No other years in all the history of mankind can equal these years. As never before, mankind needs a firm foundation upon which to build his life, to build his family, to build his hope for time and for eternity. For you see, we are not earthbound creatures. We are here for a season, but this is not all of it. Our destiny reaches beyond the calendar that we know that contains 12 months and 365 days. Our destiny goes beyond what we know as the earth's surface, 25,000 miles around it. In view of all of the things that are transpiring in our day, I say again, as never before, man needs a solid foundation upon which to build. Jesus talks about two foundations in the 7th chapter of Matthew. And every person who has ever lived has built upon one of these two foundations. Jesus said, a man went out to build a building. And he built his building upon sand. And the winds came, and the waters came, and the rains fell, and the storms came. And that house fell. And the commentary of Jesus is this, and great was the fall of it. On the other hand, Jesus said another man went out to build who was wiser than the first. And this man built his house upon a rock. And the winds came and the waters fell and the storms developed. But this house stood because it was built upon the rock. Now, many people today, altogether too many, are building upon the shifting sands of time, the sands of human idealism, the sands of a false economy, the sands of a false hope. The world is trying to extend to mankind tonight a hope that they're going to be all right. But I must tell you tonight something that you already know. No man is all right outside the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what he has. Doesn't matter how big his bank account. It doesn't matter how strong physically he is. It doesn't matter how capable mentally he is. The man outside Christ tonight is on a dangerous foundation. And there are foundations upon which men are building that are not going to stand. And the storms are coming. We haven't seen the half of it yet. The storms are brewing tonight that are going to burst open upon mankind. The great and final conflict we've already talked about in our series of messages that just closed 2 weeks ago tonight. But leading up to that final engagement, that final catastrophic judgment and conflict and confrontation of the forces of evil and the forces of good, there are many storms brewing for your life. The devil is out to get you. I'm glad in Christ Jesus we are safe evermore. The foundations of this world cannot stand. The foundation of economics is not a substantial foundation. The English pound is in trouble tonight. The monetary system of all the world is in a grave condition tonight. The French franc is in a grave condition. The American dollar is not nearly so sound as it once was, or as it ought to be. And you know, I can see in these things that are happening to the monetary systems of the world, one thing particularly. All over the world, men have made gold and silver their god. And God is doing something about it. For God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God tonight. And God will not continually tolerate man bowing down before the gods of gold and silver. And God is hitting the population of the world where it hurts. In the pocketbook. Now you can hit a fellow in the face and he can overcome it pretty quick, but when you hit him in the pocketbook, it takes him a long time to get over it. So God is working on the economy of the world where it hurts. Men are building on a false economy that overnight can be taken away. It's a tragic thing to think that people are making their investments only in time. You know, many Christians are doing that, so-called Christians, church members. They are building and buying and planning just for time with no thought for eternity. That is a false foundation. And it's got to go. I'm convinced tonight more than I've ever been convinced that what we invest and what we do and what we have to give, we ought to give to the cause of Christ, because eternity is the only lasting thing. These things of time are passing out. The foundation of economics is shaky. The foundation of education is very shaky tonight. You don't really know if you are not reading the current magazines and periodicals concerning the educational system. The problem is this: we have left the basic principles of reading, writing, and arithmetic. We have gone down the road to higher education that has led us to a denial of God. Amen. The products that the universities and colleges are putting out tonight, it is absolutely shameful that in America and even in church-related schools, they're coming out with no faith at all. A recent survey shows that the greater majority of people who were asked about their faith in God, who denied that there was any real thing to Christianity, were college-age people. You know, the colleges have asked for what they're getting tonight. Following, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the path of what is called progressive education, the colleges have asked for the riots and the problems that they're having. There's nothing progressive about our educational system. It is regressing. It is going backward. Would you tell me that the college students that are being produced from the colleges and universities today are progressing from what they were just 25 years ago? I don't believe they are. The generation that has come up and that is now being produced and turned out of the colleges, a lot of them won't shave, they won't get their hair cut, they won't take a bath. I don't think that's progressive education. I think that's going back to a beast-like existence.
Amen, brother.
Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Amen.
And soap and water is entirely too cheap for anybody to be dirty. This is a shaky foundation. Now, I think that we ought to learn, and I think kids ought to go to school, but I think they ought to go to places where they can be taught and be instructed that there is a God and that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is an eternity. There is something to the old black back book and what it teaches. That's what we need tonight. We need to return to this. You talk about getting in a progressive gear. When we get to the Word of God, we're ahead of time.
Amen.
We are not just catching up with the times. We are going ahead of time. The foundation of education will not stand. The foundation of government will not stand. The governments of this world are shaky tonight. France has almost experienced a revolution that nearly overthrew their government. And I appreciated what Paul Harvey said, and we can think what we want to about Charles de Gaulle. He's not a personal friend of mine, incidentally. But Paul Harvey said, I wish that we had in America a leader that was as American as Charles de Gaulle is French. Our government is shaky tonight. I think the very fact that we are not putting a stop to some of the things that are going on is a clear-cut indication that we are a weak government. The power that's supposed to be the strongest in the world is just about the weakest. The foundation of government will not stand. Because governments are refusing and failing to recognize that God has a king, and that king is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe we need an old-fashioned revival and return to the faith of our forefathers in government, in politics, in education, in economics, in every area of our existence. I believe the great need of the hour is to get back to the ancient path. That's what I want to try to lead Worth Baptist Church into doing in this community. So that everybody that hears about this church and knows anything of its ministry will say that there is a group of people who are determined by the grace of God to stand firmly upon the promise of this blessed book.
Amen.
That way, we cannot be defeated. You know what they said in Acts chapter 5? If it be of man, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, it cannot be overthrown.
Amen.
I'm convinced that what we're engaged in tonight is of God. And I'm further convinced that it cannot be overthrown. It cannot be destroyed. We have a foundation that is sure. Now the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. What are some of the stones in that foundation that Paul talks about standing sure? I want to call your attention to just three. First, in this foundation that stands sure, there is the stone of the fulfillment of God's promises. Can't you see that stone taking a prominent place in the foundation of God? The fulfillment of God's promises. God promised Abraham a son in his old age. And though many years went by, and Abraham was an old man, and his wife Sarah was an old woman, God gave Abraham a son. God promised David a throne. He was just a lad tending sheep. But he was anointed to be a king. And God brought David into his confidence. Say, wouldn't it be a good time to stop and ask, has God brought you? Can God trust you in his confidence? God made a covenant with David and promised to give him a throne. And from David onward, as long as Israel was a nation of kings and kingdoms, the seed of David sat on that throne. That throne has been unoccupied since 586 B.C., almost 600 years before Christ came. But the throne of David and the seat of the power of the world is yet to be occupied by a greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. God promised David a kingdom and a throne, and God gave it to him. God promised Israel a prominent place among the nations of earth. And God has given Israel that prominent place tonight. And whether we like it or not, and whether we are willing to admit it or recognize it or not, as Israel goes, so goes the events of the world tonight. That little country yonder in the Middle East, that just a year ago this week caused such a worldwide uproar, is the country you've got to keep your eyes on tonight. Because as God deals with that nation, when he promised to Abraham that out of his loins would come that great and mighty people, we've got to keep our eyes on what God says about them and what God does to them and through them. That's the stone of the fulfillment of God's promise. God said to Abraham, that land will be yours. Thousands of the seed of Abraham are going back to Palestine every year. And God will bring Israel to the number one place, the most prominent nation in all the world, in the new economy of the kingdom age. This is God's promise. God has promised you strength and courage and power and victory and hope. And God has not failed, has he? On his deathbed, Joshua said, of all the good things that the Lord promised, not one thing has failed. I'm glad that I can stand upon a stone in the foundation of the Lord that assures me that every promise that God has made shall be fulfilled to me, to you, to all the world. The second stone in that foundation that standeth sure is the stone of the accessibility to the throne of grace. Isn't it a wonderful thought to know that we can go to the throne of God's grace at any moment? There is an eye that never shuts. There's an ear that never closes. God is not on vacation. God is not dead. God is not asleep. God is evermore alive. Faintest knock will open the door of heaven. God has made himself accessible to man. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And he goes on in verse 2 to tell us that we have access by this same faith to the throne of God's eternal grace. Suppose something happens to me in the middle of the night. I don't have to run to a priest to pray, because I am a priest. You are a priest. You are a royal priesthood who are believers in Christ. Something happens to you in the night. You don't have to wait until somebody comes to intercede for you. Christ is at the right hand of God to make intercession for you right now. I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad that there is free access, there is open access to the throne of God's grace. Paul tells us, seeing then we have an high priest, even Jesus Christ the righteous, who is passed into the heavens, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Don't ever apologize for asking God for something, because you are admonished in God's word to come boldly to the throne of God's eternal grace to find mercy and help in the time of need. You can reach God anytime, any hour. Central is never busy. God is always on the line. The only time God is deaf is when we're dumb. The only time that God doesn't hear is when we don't speak. The only time God doesn't answer is when we don't ask. The accessibility to the throne of grace, right into the presence of God through Jesus Christ, who has opened up a new and living way. There's another stone, and that is the stone of the immortality of the soul. I said a while ago that we are not earthbound creatures. We are not altogether encompassed by time. Death is inexplainable. Webster calls it the cessation or the end of life. The question through the ages is, what happens at death? We don't have to guess. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to wonder and fret and worry what has happened to that loved one who has gone into that thing that we call death, because God's word makes it very clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to read a few verses for you. For we know, I like that word, don't you? Paul was not a guesser. He never speculated. I never read about Paul speculating about his relationship to God. Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this tent, this body, were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in verse 6, Paul says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are hopeful. No. We think. No. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. As we live, we are absent from God. That is, in the relationship that we know him after death. But when we die, Paul tells us that we are absent from the body. You see, perhaps we don't understand that this temple of clay is not the real you. It's only a house that you live in. And when you depart this life and go to be with God, for to be absent from this body is to be present with him, the old body goes back to the Mother Earth from whence it came. But on the great getting up morning, the day of the resurrection, the hope of the believer, when Christ returns for his own and raises these bodies from the grave, the real you that's gone to be with the Lord will be united with that body that shall not be the same body, but a glorified body like unto Jesus' body. For we shall see him, John says we shall be like him in 1 John chapter 3, for we shall see him as he is. And Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3 that he's going to fashion these vile, sinful, deteriorating bodies like unto his own glorious body. The stone of the immortality of the soul. Job asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? And Job got the answer, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and shall stand in that latter day upon the earth. And though after this skin, after this habitat, has been destroyed in death, deterioration, even by the worms of the earth, in my flesh, Job says, I shall see God. There's the answer. Is there life after death? Let Jesus answer it. In John chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I'm standing on a firm foundation tonight. I have in my hand a written guarantee that every promise that God ever made is going to stand. I have in my hand a written guarantee that I can reach Him at any moment under any circumstance. He's my Father. Jesus is my elder brother. I'm in His family. He's ready to receive me at any moment. I have in my hand a written guarantee that when you take the body of your pastor out to the cemetery and you plant him beneath the sods of Mother Earth, that I have gone to be with the Lord, and whosoever hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Amen. Do you have that hope? Is Christ yours? Can you embrace the written guarantee and put your name on it and say, I know that God has written to me? This is a personal book. This is God's book, God's letter to you. If you don't have that assurance, I beg you, get it tonight by a simple exercise of your faith in the saving power of Jesus Christ. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, tonight we truly thank Thee for this hour of worship. And we thank Thee for Thy blessed and timeless word that gives to us the written guarantee of hope, of peace, of joy, of satisfaction. We would ask just now, Heavenly Father, if there are those in our midst tonight who have never trusted the Savior. They have never anchored their faith in Him. They have never opened the door of their heart to let Jesus Christ come in. May they do so even in this moment. For those who need to come and renew themselves at an altar of prayer for these dark, dismal, difficult, trying, perilous days, with threats of civil war and anarchy and discord and violence in the streets for the summer. Help us to have the peace of God in our hearts, whether it be summer or winter, with the ever-abiding hope that whether we live or die, we have a blessed and unending assurance that we are Thine and that Christ lives in our hearts to bring us through whatever we are subjected to in this life. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what the summer is going to bring. But we know one day is going to bring the coming of Christ. Help us to live in readiness for that moment. So if there be those who are shaky tonight, we know the rock is never shaken under them, but perhaps they're tossed about and they're shaky and uneasy on the rock tonight. May they get a firmer grip by faith around an altar of renewal. For those who need a church home, may they step out tonight to identify themselves with Worth Baptist Church in these moments. As we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake, with thanksgiving.